Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom, Mishpachah, to all my brothers and sisters. This is a day that the Most High has made for us, for men, that we might be able to be refreshed, enjoy the goodness of the Most High and how good He's been into you. So much to thank Him for, so much to reflect on at all times. And that's what we do, is we reflect on the goodness of the Most High. He truly has been good to us. We have so many things happening all around us. With those things happening all around us, we must understand what He expects of us. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Kodesh, set apart. In order for it to be set apart, we refrain from living and doing any of the things that we would normally do. We make this day a difference from all other 6 days. I think my father, Abba, is really gracious because he doesn't ask that much. We often hear people say, it's just too hard to keep the Sabbath. It's impossible. Well, you're right, because the disciples in Christ didn't keep all the 613 laws. in reference to the commandments. But as far as the Sabbath, no, that's not impossible to keep. For him to ask for one day out of a week where you do nothing but think of him, and think about his goodness and who he is in your life and his beautiful, glorious creation. Now, what I was in reference to was the fact that many people think it's hard to keep the commandments. But we're going to go into that in a minute. But right now, the Shabbat, that should be something that should be looked forward to. Just like when you were in paganism and you looked forward to Christmas. Just like when you were a heathen or goyim and you looked forward to your birthday. You wanted that to be a special day. This day is that special to the Most High. And if you don't entreat it as so, then you are the one that is inhibiting yourself and withdrawing and refraining from receiving the blessings of the Most High that he has for you. I know that peace and blessings come from this fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it set apart. That means different from the other 6 days. Withdraw from your own pleasure. Don't seek doing all the things that you need to do, have to do, love to do. I'm not talking about eating. You can eat. Some people think you're supposed to fast. That's not in there. You're not supposed to light a fire and cook. Everything should be prepared. As a matter of fact, the sixth day is almost as holy as the seventh. And in me saying that, it is not the Sabbath. But the sixth day is a day of preparation. It is Sabbath Eve. Think about what you used to do on Christmas Eve. Wrapping the gifts, cooking, getting ready for Christmas. Everything like that because you were so excited. That was a pagan holiday that doesn't even exist with a fat man in a white beard and a red hat. This is to the Most High who's been so good to us. So on Sabbath Eve, it's a day of preparation where we get ready to do these things. Also on the seventh day, it's a seventh-day shutdown. We pull out of the economy. This is a way we can let America feel some pain, too. Let them know that we are separate, called out people. We are different. We are not like the rest of you people that follow the ways of this world. You can follow the ways of the world, but trust me, hell, fire, and doom is coming for the rest of the world. They're living easy now. They don't want to believe it. They're entertained. They're blind, and they don't believe there's a judgment day coming. You stand by, and we will get more into that, and we will talk about that because there is a judgment day that's coming for America and everything outside of America as well. Don't think that China, Europe, Japan, Africa, parts of Africa and everywhere else, Australia, that they're going to escape. It's going to be for the entire world that follows the ways of Babylon and the ways of Satan. I say all that just to let you know that this is a glorious day. So to you, the Mishpachah, the 12 tribes of Israel that are scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, we pray for you. The Lord our God is one, and all praises to the Most High. Let's go before the Father in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So I hope you had a great week. And we have a few topics that we want to cover today. And just be able to fellowship. Feel free to call in. The guest call in number is 213-769-0910. We're praying for those that are going through trying times. We got some people that think they're going through trying times and they're not going through a damn thing. We got some people that are really losing families, kids getting shot down in the street, lost their jobs, don't know where they're going to live, don't have food in their refrigerator. I pray for you today. My prayers go out to you today. As a matter of fact, I said the Lord's Prayer. I feel like going back into prayer again. I come against you, Satan, that is trying to afflict the minds of my people that are depressed today and suicidal. somebody is on too much medication and they've lost mom and dad and they think they need to go to the bridge and jump off. Somebody lost their job and they're ready to throw in the towel. I come against those thoughts of suicide, oppression, and just demon possession. Those who were in sin last night, out of loneliness, you went to the club, you got taken advantage of, and you feel bad today. Well, there is grace. So I speak to your spirit. I speak life to your spirit that you must come forth. I bind that enemy that causes you to feel depressed and remorse for what you've done. I come against all these foul spirits that is trying to attack Israel, the children of Israel, and keep them from coming into prominence and understanding that we were made in the image of the Most High. Father, we need you. We need you. I pray for the leaders throughout the four corners of the earth. I pray that you bless the ties that bind us. I come against separation that keeps us from coming together. May we find common ground. May we find common ground. We know that we will not totally come together until you return, but we need strength within our communities. Send angels to bless your people. Help people to find people around the corner, next door, that have the same beliefs that can pray for each other. I come against sickness. I come against cancer. I stand in my rightful authority as a minister called by you and anointed by you, because as you did Jeremiah, you called me before I was in the womb to do what I'm doing now. I didn't pick you. You picked me, and I yield unto you. I yield myself that I can pray for someone that they might be healed, set free, and delivered. So I speak life. I speak health. I speak wholeness. And we thank you that you are a fence all around us and that you protect us. There's no weapon formed against us that can prosper. Greater is that is within us than anything in the world. And we know that the joy within you is our strength. May my brothers and sisters find joy today and solace, not anger, not depression, not bitterness. For we know those that stay in that trap will remain in that trap. And those that have set traps for others, Father, we thank you for Psalms 35. Because it is an imprecatory prayer. Everyone that wants to set traps against your people that are living righteous, those that want to despitefully use your people that are living righteous, may it come back on them. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Because I know you're able, you're capable. I thank you for the strength. I thank you for the 144,000 that we may not see right now, but they're called. I thank you for the women of Zion that are praying and crying and travailing. I thank you for the intercessors. Most of all, I thank you for the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. May we continue to baptize, and may your people continue to be filled and grow in the knowledge of your commandments, I pray. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, so be it. Amen. Without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get into these commandments. Talk about these commandments. Because on the seventh day, they went to the synagogues to hear the reading of the laws, because they didn't have these little nice, compact, cute Bibles that you get to take with you everywhere. They had these big old scrolls that they had to go open up. Some people had phylacteries and things they would stuff in there, had to remember the law, but there was just various things that transpired that took place during that time. You know, today I want to talk about something that not too many people knew about, was that, and because it's in books, you know, first of all, I'm going to say this. I need to say this before I say this about the Seven Commandments of Noah, which can be found in the books of Jubilees and Jasher. You got too many people that are telling you, don't read these books. These books are from the white man or the devil and all that kind of stuff. But yet they've got you reading whatever book that they put in your face. And they'll have you reading magazines, and they'll play videos for you and Time Magazine and ascribe to that. But this is why the scripture said, you need not that any man teach you. Let me explain what that means. It says that the Ruach will teach you. That means that if these scriptures have precepts in them that line up with the 66 books that you read, and I won't even talk about why the Nicene Council only chose 66 books to put in there, but if they line up and there's precepts in there from Jasher and Jubilees and Enoch that can confirm what you read in the 66 books, your spirit should, it should bear witness with your spirit that this is a precept that lines up and ties in. The book of Esdras, you can't discount Esdras. You can't discount Enoch when you see the book of Jude speaking of Enoch and confirms Genesis, the sixth chapter. So when you got people pushing you away from information and telling you not to read it, that's people inhibiting you from growing in your knowledge and your truth. And that can't be so. You are grown enough to know how to rightfully divide the word of truth and ask a question. And if somebody can't answer your question and they just tell you, you don't need to read it, that's not an answer. Now, let me say this to you. There was a book called The Seven Commandments of Noah because the commandments were always around. Let me just read to you what the seven commandments of Noah were. The first one was, do not murder. I think I found that in the Ten Commandments. Have you heard that before? So you got to remember that. And I'm going to tell you why it has a lot of precedence. The rainbow was given as a sign for the Noahic, I'll say the Noahic law, that one must remember most of the world lives under this universal rainbow. And we know that the rainbow was a sign that he would not destroy the earth and he had made a covenant with man. Now that rainbow has been distorted in a number of ways with rainbow push and the homosexual agenda and trying to take what God has given and his grace and how he's established things. But these commandments were given to Noah on how, when they were repopulating the earth, how to carry themselves about. Who would sit up here and think that God would repopulate the earth having destroyed sin without him giving them some order and some commandments through the progenitor Noah of that time and his three sons? That would be ludicrous. But let me finish reading these seven. You tell me if they sound like they line up with what the Most High gave Moses in the Ten Commandments. The second one was, do not steal. The third one was, do not worship false gods. The fourth one, which is amazing to me because they've taken the rainbow, it says, do not be sexually immoral. And we know what that means. That means no incest, no having sex with family members, no sodomy, which means going into areas you shouldn't be going into, no bestiality, having sex with animals, or even castration. Give me 1 second. There we go. Now let me go to the next one. Number five, do not utter the Most High's name in vain. And number six, set up honest and righteous courts and apply for fair justice in judging offenders and uphold the principles of the last five. And number seven was an interesting one because it's found in the 600 and something commandments. It said, do not eat the limb of an animal before it is killed. So it was talking about eating raw meat and how to carry yourself. So these things were set in order. Our creator in the universe has always had order and law. There has to be a law. When the people don't have laws, they do whatever is right in their own minds. And we know that we can't trust our hearts and our minds to lead us into the right areas that we need to be able to go into. So now I want to go into the Mosaic Law. And this morning we're going to look at Leviticus, the 18th chapter and the 21st verse. Go ahead and read that for me. Leviticus 18 and 21.
Leviticus 18 and verse 21. And thou shalt not let any of thy seeds pass through the fire of Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God.
We'll stop right there. Today we want to talk about not to pass your children through the fire to Moloch. During that time, many were sacrificing their children upon birth immediately to the god Moloch in a way that they thought that they could be blessed. And we have that same thing transpiring today. And the way it's happening today is that we have many abortions taking place in the land. It's at an all-time high. The abortion rate is at an all-time high. Let me share something with you. You've got Planned Parenthood videos being released. Whistleblower reveals it's basically a huge trafficking of fetal tissues. Another boy, Planned Parenthood staff, sifts through aborted baby parts in new tape. Nurse admits it's fun, dissect babies. Parenthood transcript. Planned Parenthood president, these extremist videos are nothing short of an attack on women. Obama administration defends Planned Parenthood. Not a lot of evidence. Sting video obtained recently. Brainwash CNN host asks Planned Parenthood if he's a violent extremist. Ice cream shop serves abortion-inspired flavor. Planned Parenthood fundraiser, the taste of victory. Planned Parenthood project. Planned Parenthood is for one thing, abortion, no matter what. Planned Parenthood, Abby Johnson, I saw the baby fighting for its life. At 2 and 3 months and 4 months, the baby's actually pulled back and fighting. Petitions go forth, stop harvesting baby organs. And by the way, the majority of these babies are Israelites, if you understand what I'm saying, black and brown babies. They're not telling us what they're really being used for. Obama administration purchases aborted baby parts from Planned Parenthood. And let's see, satanic cult uses the prophets just to go to various different things. So we still have it today. And this is another form of passing our babies through the fire as a sacrifice unto Satan, because many of these rituals of abortion are satanic. That is exactly what is transpiring. It's a satanic ritual. And the satanic ritual in this world has been set up in every community to talk these young girls into having sex. You got to realize that. The media teaches girls to have as much sex as possible. Flaunt your sexuality. You only live once. Do what you will. Do what thy will. And we'll take care of the rest. And you don't have to tell mommy or daddy that you had an abortion. You think about that. Your child, your 15-year-old, 16-year-old, may have had sex 15, 20 times, had a baby, had an abortion, came home, and you knew nothing about it. And therefore, that child was in your home. In your home, having sacrificed that child unto Moloch and given it over to this world to be used for all types of madness and darkness. It is also murder. And we just read that within the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shall not murder. So that's all I want to focus in on today, is how we desecrate this system. This society is totally set up for you to desecrate and destroy the laws, even as it pertains to the Shabbat and the Sabbath. Today is the day for the biggest sales in the mall. Today is the day when all the games are on and all the brothers want to see the games, and the ones coming into the truth, they know, like, ah, I shouldn't be really doing this. Today is the day where most people go out and party. Today is the day where I could go on and on. This world has set up for Saturday, but have you noticed how they let Sunday be a more quieter day? Because they tricked you, and they have flipped the script and caused you to think that Sunday is the first day of worship. And it is not. Saturday is your day of worship. You'll notice around you how you are enticed. There's a spirit in the atmosphere to get you to go out on Saturday and do everything so that you're not in sync with the Most High and what He desires and what is pleasing to Him is to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. So, brothers and sisters, I tell you that last week, if you listen to the show, we read out of the second chapter, I believe, of Jubilees. I believe it was Jubilees. And it puts so much emphasis on the importance of the Shabbat, even outside of the holy days. Because we got brothers who can't even come to an agreement the right time to celebrate the holy days. But one thing we do know is when the seventh day is, and we can come together on that. And that's what we shall do. That's what we need to do. Now, when we return, I'm going to get ready to move into the lesson, and I got some things to share with you about some of the fears of people that are coming up in September. But we, as believers, we have no fear. For the Father has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We will be prepared for whatever's coming, because the Most High, we know He has a remnant.
For a heart that will love Him, longing for a child that will give Him their all. Give it all, He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give Him their all. Give it all, He wants it all. And He says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idol. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give Him their all. Give it all, He wants it all. And He says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all.
Welcome back to Blueprint for Life. I don't think I said that at the beginning of the broadcast. This is the Blueprint for Life. The only thing the Most High wants of us, He wants it all. He does want everything. And when you truly fall in love with Him, or you fall in love with something, you give it your all. Nothing can separate you or pull you away from it, because you are just totally in love with that. And He wants it all, because He said that we should have no other idols before Him. We shouldn't put anything in front of Him. So I tell you that when He said narrow is the way, there are not going to be a lot of people that are going to make it. And we're going to go into Zephaniah, the third chapter. We got a lot of fear in the world. I had a brother call me this week and said that I'd be talking about some fear on Straight No Chaser, putting panic out here to the people. But I actually think that the way people perceive it is based upon their predisposition or where they are. Because I know that you know that if you're living righteous to the best of your ability, you're keeping the Sabbath, you're honoring everything you're supposed to honor, you're in this Word, you have no fear, because you have an understanding that the Most High is going to watch you, keep you, and protect you. But for those of you that want to live up under grace, because you've decided that there are things you're going to hold on to, such as your girlfriend on the side, or your obsession with certain things in this life, whether it be food or going to certain clubs or watching a certain show that you know you shouldn't be watching. Some of you know that there are things that you refuse to let go of, and you say, well, God knows my heart. Well, the heart is deceitfully wicked, says the scripture. So you can't trust your heart. This is a walk of discipline, the root word being disciple. I'm here to make disciples. So you must be disciplined, not by me, but by the word. So when I tell you what the world is doing, it jolts you and shakes you into reality to say, like, maybe I am living in a hellhole. But truth is heavy. So what we do is we're like, when we hear the truth, we'd be like, I had enough of that. Let's go get some ice cream, go to the movies, go out, and act like none of this is really going on. It's the same way people deal with their mortality. No one wants to think that they're going to have to die and that it can happen any day, any second, any month. So what we do is we distract ourselves throughout life so that we don't have to deal with the reality of our mortality. This entire thing is a distraction. And what focus is being disciplined enough to know that without these statutes, laws, and commandments, we have nothing. I tell you this, and I tell you this from the heart. When you fall in love with Christ, and when you come into the understanding of what you're living in, what this world is about, his gospel, and how he's coming, you're not afraid of death. You are prepared, and you're willing to die for him. It doesn't matter what happens. But when you're taking selfies and you're in love with yourself, your life is so precious, you're scared to die because you love yourself so much. And Christ told us that we are dead in him and our life is hid with him. So I said all that to say and make reference to the fact that everyone is afraid for what's coming up in September. We just had a big bomb that fell on China. And here's the alarming thing about the attack that was on China. It was initially said that it was a warehouse that blew up, and it was not a warehouse. And this is something that you need to know about, because a lot of people, when you tell them that the government has the ability to take your cell phone and cause it to self-destruct and blow up in your hand wherever you are, or track you according to that cell phone, because when you bought it, you gave them your name, social security number, and address, people say, like, man, you're crazy. That's pathetic. But when I tell you about this weapon right here, I mean, because that's small stuff to them. That doesn't matter to them. They don't care about that. The weapon that was used against China was called a space-based kinetic weapon, and it was dropped onto a target. This was explained by popular science back in 2004. So when instructed from the ground, the targeting satellite commands its partners to drop one dart, and the rod enters the atmosphere with a thermal coating. Believe it or not, the thermal coating is made out of melanocytes, traveling at 36,000 feet per second and comparable to the speed of a meteor. The result is complete devastation. What does that mean? That they have a satellite that contains nothing but missiles, and it's controlled from down here at Earth. So they have bombs that are coming from out of the sky that are prepared to destroy whomever, and whatever target based upon satellite coordinates. So it's a projectile that has the ability to cause a kinetic energy blast that's larger than a conventional bomb. So I laugh at people when they think they are accomplishing something with their marches or burning up cities or tearing things down. If they wanted to disperse of those crowds, they could easily be dispersed of with the technology that they have. So that's why it's going to take the Most High and the return of Christ to come back and deal with some of the science and technology that this world, don't get it twisted, because China, Russia, and America are in cahoots. They worship the same God, which is Satan. They just keep you thinking they're at war so they may stay in power. But they worship the same God to bring forth the same goal, which is destroy many of the populace, one world government, one world leader, one world monetary system. And many of you are sitting up praying, saying, let's pray against this. That is foolishness, because this is all Bible prophecy. I refuse to pray against it. What I will do is obey the Father and begin to keep these commandments. I hear so many people saying, let's pray against these weapons. Let's pray against this great earthquake. Let's pray against the chip. Let's pray. That is not even the Father's will. He said, pray that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he already prophesied that there's a dark day coming, and he's going to have to deal with these people that have these weapons of mass destruction that can easily destroy and take out an entire city, take out San Francisco, take out the Bay Area with one missile that nobody will ever see coming. You could die in your sleep. So if you think it to be fear, it's because you're not serving the Most High and you're living in sin and depending upon grace. Let me read off before we get into Zephaniah, the third chapter. Let me read about some of these things that people are concerned about that are actually transpiring in September. This is not no gossip. There's a cataclysmic month that is coming up. It's got some people really worried for so many things to be happening at one time. One, I mentioned 15, but I have 20 today. There's a rabbi that predicted that the Messiah will return September 12th, according to their particular Jewish calendars. Number two, we have the Feast of Trumpets taking place. But at the same time, there are people that are celebrating the life of Eve, Adam and Eve from the garden. They're saying that this is also the same time that we celebrate the Feast of Trumpets, that we're celebrating the creation of Eve. That's a cult that will be celebrating that. We will be celebrating the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Terah. Number three, September 14th is called 5776 Anno Lucius. It is the establishing of the Year of Light. This is a new age thing where they're saying the dawning of the Aquarius and the Age of Light is coming in on September the 14th. All over the world are celebrating this. September 5th, the resolution for Palestine becoming a state is to be finalized. So Jerusalem is being split, and the Bible prophesied against that. He forbid that from happening, but on September 15th, Palestine will become a state. Number five, Jade Helm will end on September the 15th. It started June or July 15th, and it's supposed to come to an end. If you don't know what Jade Helm is, do your research. It's been taking place where they've been invading cities and calling it a military exercise, but in reality, taking away people's independence. September 21st is going to be called the International Day of Peace. We know they said, the scripture tells us, when everybody cries peace, then will come sudden destruction. They're looking for September 21st to be the official International Day of Peace going forward. Also, the Day of Atonement is coming up. We also have the Jewish calendar talking about the Year of Jubilees taking place September 23rd. There will also be, for the Muslims, their Islamic Mecca pilgrimage will be taking place in September. September 23rd is also called the Muslim time of sacrifice. Some will sacrifice animals. Some that are radical will think it's a time to start to kill those that are not within Islam. Number 11, CERN will fire up the machine. Many of you have studied CERN. They're taking down websites now because they're getting ready to fire it up, and you don't have much information or access to their portal because it will be fired up on September the 23rd, and it will coincide with the Year of Light. CERN, in short, is a machine that is designed to go into various different dimensions and open up dark matter and get into portals and different realms and try to bring forth demonic energy. This one is a little off the cuff, but it's about Madonna starting her world tour, her concert, but it's called, and its title and its theme is Desecration of the Bride and the Fallen Angels. She will be kicking that off in Washington, D.C., at the same time, the Pope is making his first appearance to the United States Congress and addressing them. At the same time, she's kicking off her tour. When he's done with that, he plans on addressing all world leaders about unification and all coming together and creating this one world. And after that, he will have a mass at Madison Square Garden on the 26th. And then he's going to the Church of Philadelphia to address them. Tomorrowland World Concert, New Age World Concert in Atlanta. You'll have to search that out. But it's to introduce a part of the Year of Light. We got the Feast of Tabernacles. We've also got the Fourth Blood Moon on September 20th. Chinese President is coming to the United States. Let you know that they're in cahoots. In October, a new currency is to be established. And Muslim, this one is very interesting. The Muslims believe the Ma'adi will appear in September, which is their Christ that they've been looking for. But they also prophesied that before their Ma'adi returns, that a tall black man will arise out of the West with a large army and try to defeat the world, and then the Ma'adi will come. And then it also leads to Farrakhan, and Farrakhan is supposed to have his 20th anniversary Million Man March upon Washington, D.C., and which I don't understand because he sold the entire Nation of Islam over to the Church of Scientology, and the Church of Scientology is a demonic cult that believes in nothing but science, denounces God, and at the top is ran by demons and Satan, because the ultimate goal is to achieve the 20th level status in the Church of Scientology, where you become totally possessed by spirits. Their whole thing was that they had a hard time reaching the black community, so they talked to Farrakhan to try and bring the Nation of Islam into Scientology. They are actually a synthesis, and they are blending Scientology in with the Nation of Islam in order that Satan and his demonic imps and spirits might have more access to the black community, because they did not have access through the Church of Scientology. You can do your research and find out more about the Church of Scientology. All of this leads me to what we don't care about, because I want it to all happen. I got to tell you, in my heart of hearts, I'm like, bring it on, because I'm seeing Bible prophecy being fulfilled. And I know that there's going to be a cataclysmic event where all these things are going to just collide. But something has to happen, because this world thinks they're taking us on a different plateau. But they're actually establishing the foundation for the return of Christ and what he's going to do, which leads me to Zephaniah, the third chapter. If you'll go there with me, let's look at Zephaniah 3. Talks about the day of the Lord.
Zephaniah 3. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city.
Filthy and polluted. When he's saying that, woe unto her that is gluttonous. Go ahead.
She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her prince.
Hold on for 1 second. Verse 2. I want to look at another precept. Hold your place right there and go to Jeremiah 5 and 3. I'm going to read Jeremiah 22 and 21, and this will give us some credence to that, the second verse.
Yep.
I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou says, I will not hear. This has been the manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. Go ahead.
Jeremiah 5 and 3. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refuse to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return.
So what we're talking about in the second verse, her, she, he's in reference to Israel when you go into Zephaniah 3. So he's dealing with what he's going to do with Israel. Let me confirm for you even more so. Get Isaiah 54 and 5 for me. I'm going to turn to Psalms 46 and 5. So that you will know that the she he's talking about is Israel. Psalms 46 and 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. He always spoke in this type of analogy. Do you have that other verse?
Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5. For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole world, shall he be called.
And the most important one, which I really love, Revelations 12 and 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness. This ties in with Zephaniah, the third chapter. The woman, being Israel, will flee into the wilderness. He's going to gather us and take us into the wilderness when this dark time comes. And she hath a place. It says he hath a place prepared. It was prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Let's finish verse number 3.
Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 3. Her prince within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They got gnash, gnaw.
They gnaw
not the bones till the morrow.
Let me talk about this. What he's saying right here is he's describing Israel today and the type of people we have that are amongst our people that are destroying our people. Look at Jeremiah 23:11. The Hebrew word is czar. When you talk about prince, and when you talk about a czar, you're talking about our leaders, our so-called leaders, your Jesse Jacksons and your Al Sharptons. Even they putting your TD snakes up there. And these are the people that our people look to, but our government tells them to go out and deal with us right before we get ready to rise up. What is
Jeremiah?
Is Jeremiah 23:11? Don't read that one yet. I just want to talk more about who those leaders were. I'll let you go to verse 4 first.
Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law.
They have done violence to the law. This is the one I really want to focus in on about Israel and our people and where we are. When we talk about the fact that they have done violence to the law, we are saying these churches that are telling you the law is done away with, pastors that are telling you can eat your pork, pastors are telling you that you don't have to keep the Sabbath day, it's on Sunday, or that every day is the Sabbath, but you can't tell your boss that every day is the Sabbath and I'm staying home. They have, the Most High is saying in a prophetic manner through Zephaniah, they have done violence to my law. Her prophets are light and treacherous. Let's read that Jeremiah 23:11 now.
Jeremiah 23:11, for both prophets and priests are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, says the Lord.
Read verse 32. Same chapter.
Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, said the Lord.
I am against them that prophesy false dreams. You go to these Christian churches and they're talking about I had a dream. As far as back as Martin Luther King, I had a dream. Most High says, I'm against these people that prophesy these false dreams. This is where the people, Israel, the saints, are now. And we know that all of Israel ain't Israel. 2/3 will be destroyed. Did you finish that?
And do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, said the Lord.
This is why our people are in the same predicament every Sunday they go to church, because you're being lied to every Sunday by these people doing violence to the law. And what does that mean? Kama is the Hebrew word. It means to shake off. So in other words, they're saying, it ain't necessary. It's just like my wife was telling me somebody at her job. She was telling her about the Day of Atonement, about the law. She's like, well, I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm sitting down having lunch with somebody, telling them that eating that piece of bacon is going to be sin. They say, well, give me some more sin. I want this sin. It's going to be some good sin. People shake it off. I want nothing to do with it. And it's all because everybody wants to live under grace, crab. Give me more crab. Every time you see a Red Lobster commercial, just being tempted, and you want to get rid of it. So you have to understand what he's saying here. In Zephaniah 3 and 4, his people are polluting his sanctuary. Let's read Zephaniah 3 and 5.
Zephaniah 3 and 5. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning thou he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame.
I like how he says he will not do iniquity. Like, in other words, I'm not with all that sin. But every morning for you that don't keep the commandments, he brings his judgment to light. He faileth not. Every morning you wake up and you have not kept those commandments on purpose, and I know you're hearing them, he's bringing judgment your way. And here's what you do. You are not justified, and it goes on to say that you know no shame. How many people do you know that know the right way, but they have a posturing of, I don't care, or whatever? You know no shame of the fact that I ate bacon, and you'll say, well, whatever, or I don't care. That's the biggest two words, phrases for our people. Whatever, I don't care, because we're a stiff-necked, hard-headed people, and we'd rather deal with the consequences, but we don't realize consequences don't come right away. It's a succession, and it builds up. And he's saying right here, I don't do iniquity. What is iniquity? What is sin? 1 John 3 and 4. Sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is iniquity when breaking the law. So let me tell you something. You don't have the Holy Ghost because the Holy Spirit is of the law. And if the Spirit was operating in your life, you would be striving to keep the laws. And this is what he's emphasizing over and over again, that every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. Do you realize what that means? If you lay down in sin, you wake up, there's judgment on you. But this is why we deal with people, and you don't even realize this, at work, everywhere we go, everybody's got this attitude. Now you know what it's about. Judgment has come on them. They don't know why they're not happy, why they can't have no peace, why I ain't got a man, why I can't get a car, why this ain't going, why ain't nothing going for me. I need a word. You're not keeping these laws. And on top of that, you went to church on Sunday, and that was all verse 4. Treacherous prophets, priests polluting the sanctuary, and they did violence to the law all day Sunday in church. That's why, Hebrews, you shouldn't even step foot in these churches with these steeples and these crosses, because the pastor's up there doing violence to the law. I've heard Creflo Dollar get up and say, you ain't got to keep them commandments. Those commandments are done away with. That's done. He even said that if you're partnering with the commandments, you're partnering with sin. Now, how violent is that to the law? Imagine those 20,000 people on Monday. They had no shame. Most of them were arrogant. Arrogantly going about living in grace, saying, I don't have to keep that because nobody has discipline. Everybody's living the way they want to live. Let me let you go ahead. Verse 6.
Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 6. I have cut off the nations, their towers are desolate, and made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitation.
Go ahead.
Chapter 3, verse 7, I say, surely thou hast wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling shall not be cut off. Howsoever I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doing.
Now, there was a transition that took place in verse 6 where he began to talk about the other nations. Now, this is not in reference to our people being scattered to the other nations, but he is definitely in reference to other nationalities and nations, and he's explaining what's taking place during the day of the Lord and how he has cut them off and what will transpire. This is a prophecy of what's to come and how they're going to be cut off. He's punishing them. Let's go to verse 8, which will further explain, and we'll get into more precepts in verse 8.
Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indentation, even all my, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Even all my fierce anger. For the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy.
This verse is so powerful because the Most High just said, in the day of the Lord, this is Armageddon. He said, my determination is to gather all the nations in one place. He said, I'm going to assemble. This takes me back to what I just read to you about September. Satan can do nothing unless he gets the permission of the Most High. The Most High is telling you in Zephaniah 3 and 8 that he's going to bring all the armies of the nations, all the kingdoms, into one place. And in that one place, he's going to pour out his indignation and his fierce anger. In that one place. But let me go back to the beginning of verse 8, because this is what he told us to do in the interim. Let's look at Psalms 27 and 14. This is what you do while September's coming and all these other things are coming. I'm not saying September's the end of the world, but this is to help you understand your focus. Go ahead and read that.
Psalms 27 and 14. Wait on the Lord.
Wait on the Lord.
Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart.
You see how that scripture takes us totally away from what the world is doing and what's going on? He's telling us just to wait on the Lord and do what?
Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart.
Be of good courage. That courage, again, is a posturing. Do you know what courageous is? It's not Caitlyn Jenner. That's not courage. That's an abomination. Can't wait till that's destroyed. That's not courage. The courage he's talking about here is that you're brave, you're strong in the face of the darkness that's coming upon this world. You have no fear. Don't call me and tell me I'm panicking, everybody, or people are panicking. You're in panic because you're not living right. To his people, he's saying, wait on me, be of good courage. And in doing so, he's going to strengthen your heart. Because the Bible says in Matthew that men's hearts are going to fail them from fear when they see the things that are coming upon the earth. There are some things that are going to be coming on this earth. People are going to have heart attacks, drop dead. They're like, I can't handle that. I hear a lot of older folks saying, I can't take no more of this. This world has gone crazy. This world has lost its mind. Let's look at Psalms 37 and 34. What does that say about us waiting?
Psalms 37 and verse 34. It says, wait on the Lord and keep his ways, and he shall exalt thee in thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it.
There you go, about Zephaniah 3 and 8. He's getting ready to cut off the wicked, and he told us in Psalms, as soon as they get cut off, we will see him. It's a process. And so that's the excitement and the joy of the process, how he has already determined the end before the beginning. It's said so well in Joel, the third chapter and the second verse. The rest of the verse is described there. Hope you're there with me, brother.
Joel, third chapter.
Second verse.
And the second verse. I will also gather all nations.
I will do what?
I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And will plead with them there for my people.
For my people. Who are his people? Israel, the only family he's ever known. Look it up. So now you have that verse coinciding with Zephaniah 3 and 8. But I'll let you finish. Go ahead. Was that it?
And for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, are parted my land.
They have scattered them among the nations. He's going to plead for my people. Give me my people. He's going to be the one that said, like Moses, let my people go, because they were scattered amongst the nations. And where is that at? Deuteronomy 4 and 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish. Deuteronomy 4 and 27, not 2. I'm sorry. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen. So this is the prophecy that he said in Deuteronomy, that we would be scattered amongst the nations and we would be few. But this is where the Lord is leading us, and he led us to this place for such a time as what's being prophesied in Joel 3 and 2 and Zephaniah 3 and 8, that he's going to bring these nations into one place. Do you know how scared this world is going to be at that time, based upon what Fox, CNN, and everybody's saying? Like, ladies and gentlemen, we are going into World War III. And everybody's going to be going cataclysmic, rushing to the grocery stores, and the economy will probably be in collapse. Some other things will have transpired. The Father's saying, brace yourself, because he's doing all of this for you to bring us back into prominence. That right there is so exciting to me. But let's go ahead and continue reading.
Zephaniah 3, verse 9. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one comfort.
It is at that point, it's one of my favorite verses. It's at that point that all you different camps and all Israel, y'all going to stop fighting on if it's Ahaya, Jehovah, Jah, Yeshah, Yeshaya. He going to kill all that off. How you pray, what's this? And so that's why it's foolish is now, because he said in Zephaniah 3 and 9, I'm going to turn the people. And that word people, 5971, in the Hebrew is Am. And Am is tribes of Israel. So that people in the Hebrew is the tribes of Israel. I'm going to take my people and give them a pure language. Language is Hebrew. He said, I'm going to give you a brand new Hebrew tongue so that we can worship him all together in the same language. Somebody ain't going to be over here trying to do some tetragrammaton Yiddish, and somebody over here talking about praise the Lord. And then somebody over here talking about, you know, Ahayabashim. He's going to bring us all in one at this point. That's why it's going to be so glorious. The world is in panic, chaos, food. It's just total chaos. Just imagine it. But he's gathering his people and bringing us together. It won't be until this time that we'll see complete unity. Oh, how my heart, my soul, my spirit awaits for that time, which is why I need you to go here with me real quick. Understanding Zephaniah 3 and 9, I need you to know how to deal with your brothers and sisters in all these other camps and not let there be all this separation amongst us. We don't have to argue over what's the right name. We don't have to argue and say, well, they wrong for what they're doing. What we have to know is that the Most High is going to deal with us for this time. My people, the tribes of Israel. Did we read all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10.
Zephaniah 3, verse 10. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my subjects, even the daughters of my first, shall bring mine offering. Verse 11. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doing, wherein thou hast transgressed against
in that day. He's saying that we're not going to be ashamed for having broken all these commandments, even our forefathers back to Deuteronomy the 20th chapter when they got us into this mess. He's saying in that day he's going to come straighten it out. This is letting you know how anxious he is to restore us back unto him, because we're his people. We're his babies. We're his babies. We were made in his image. He has this love for us. I mean, imagine you having a child and he looked just like you. And you're like, there go mama's baby. There go daddy's baby. Look at him. Look just like me, don't he? This is how your father is, and he hates this separation right now. Imagine your child being overseas for 3-4 years and going away to college and you haven't seen them and they come home. Imagine the joy in your face. The father is so longing to be with his creation, Israel. The only family I've ever known in the earth. That is what the scripture says. You've got to know that he is awaiting. He was upset with you, as many parents do get with their children. We get upset, but then we get over it because those are our children, and he longs for the restoration. Did we finish that?
Mm-hmm. No. Zephaniah 3, chapter 11. In the days thou shalt not be ashamed of all thy doings, where therein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be halted because of my holy mountain. Verse 12, I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord.
Before we go to 13, many are trying to understand why will there be a poor people. You can look at, we won't go there now, but James 2 and 5, Isaiah 14, he says, the meek shall inherit the earth, and the poor in spirit shall inherit inherit heaven and inherit the earth. So he's saying that there's people that have a humility. When you look at the Beatitudes and you look at these verses, that they're going to be there. He's got these people. These are his people. A lot. This world looks down upon the poor in spirit and the meek and the destitute. These are the people that don't need much. They just want to live off the earth the way he created it to be. So the Father has a lot of different people. Maybe do I need to read these precepts? The Father has people that he said, the poor will be with you always. And I'll tell you what I think. Like Paul used to say, here's what I think. If we did not have the poor with us, because we're instructed to bless Israel. I don't think you people understand that, but we're instructed to be a blessing to Israel, not all these other nations. He set up an opportunity in order for you to bless others so that you can be blessed. So he'll give to those other folks, and the whole mechanism is that we're supposed to keep giving back down to others who don't have those things. And that's the way he's put things in order. It's a system of cooperation that causes both parties to be blessed. So with that being said, before I go into verse 13, I want to read Revelations, the sixth chapter. So now I'm going to get ready to close out in a second. But I want to look at Revelations, the sixth chapter. And let's see. In the 10th verse.
Revelation 6 and 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?
These are the elders in heaven every day asking the Father, how long do we have to wait for you to avenge our blood, Sandra Bland, others shot down in the earth, all those in the civil rights movement, all those that were destroyed when Jerusalem was chased out of the temples in 70 AD and during the time of Constantine, during that time. How long, Father, do we have to wait for you to go back and avenge the blood of our people? Daily they're crying out. So we finish out Zephaniah, the 13th chapter. I'll read this. It says, the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity nor speak lies. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down. This is the time of avenge, redemption, and him having avenged his people. And after we are restored, verse 14, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. So there is a time coming where in Revelations they were talking about. This is what Zephaniah is prophesying. That's this time of darkness we're going through. As the 12 tribes of Israel, you black and brown people of the earth, he's removing the curses. And these are all the wonderful things he's saying, that he's going to be in our midst and sit amongst us, and we shall rejoice. Because verse 16 says, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. 17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He's going to be glad. It says, and he will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. The Most High is going to sing to us. He's going to be so happy we're home. Verse 18, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth and gather her that was driven out. He said he's going to gather everybody that was driven out of Jerusalem. We were taken out on slave ships, according to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. We were chased out by Rome, Greek armies, Spanish Inquisition, Africans, Arabs, chased out all over the earth. Got black folks speaking every language in this earth. Look, just alike, but saying, I'm this, and you're not that. Go to the Olympics, have four different nations racing against each other, and they all black, look just alike. He's going to gather all these people, give them one pure language, rejoice over them, no more oppression, no more hatred. I just read the other day something I didn't know, that the Red Man Indians had black slaves all throughout Oklahoma. That black man has always been a slave to everyone and everything. He said that, I'm going to gather her that was driven out, and he said, I will get them praise and fame. Remember where he said, I'll take your name and make it great? He's saying, I'm going to get you fame in every land where you have been put to shame. And at that time, when I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth. When I turn back your captivity right before your eyes, saith the Most High. It's going to happen so quick, you're not going to even see it coming, but it's going to happen during a dark day. For the day of the Lord is a dark day. Natural disasters, tornadoes, destruction, a purging of the land. But it's going to be after what man has already tried to do, bring forth his one world, his one economy, his antichrist system, and his destruction, because he only wants to see 500 million people on the earth, and there's over 7 billion right now. So man wants to kill a bunch of people under the orders of Satan. So in his process, there's another process that's coming. And the Most High is allowing it because it's Bible prophecy. I'm not praying against nothing. I'm praying our Abba, which art in heaven, Kodesh be thy name. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. That's what I'm praying. And then I'm going to Psalms 35. So that you'll learn to take your hands off our people. Israel, be of good courage. Strengthen each other. Encourage each other. We ain't even got time to be fighting with Egyptologists and Islam fighting and every. You stand and stand fast in what you believe and be that and love on each other and encourage each other. And most of all, stand strong against the enemy, because he tries to find every little crack he can find to come in. He's a roaring lion, and he's waiting for you to slip up. So I want you to take joy and comfort in keeping the Ten Commandments, every single one of them. Do all that you can. I know some of you, I want to say this real quick, got families that think you're crazy because you didn't stop eating pig. And you're keeping these commandments, don't worry about it. Be grateful for everything your parents has done for you and the foundation they've laid. But he said that things would be different when you start to draw closer to him, because people are not going to like you, because you're just going to seem like you're weird. But the thing about it is that you're not weird, you're set apart, you're Kodesh. The Most High is with you. And if the Most High God be with you, who can be for you? I am Elder V. I want to thank Sister Tamar for reading. Tamia for sitting down listening. We're going to get her on the show one day. And I just want to give praises and thanks to the Father for all of Israel. Remember this, that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey, and not a destination. Quam Yasha Allah, Israel. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,